Deutsche Welle, die 77%.
When the going gets tough, the tough must get going. Especially when leaders become misleaders and mentors become tormentors. When freedom of expression becomes a target of suppression, opposition becomes our position.
Ugandan pop star turned politician Robert Kyagulanyi, commonly known as Bobi Wine. In this song, he's encouraging his fellow citizens not to give up. It's his latest hit, Situka, meaning rise up in Luganda.
Well, the past few weeks have been hell on earth for this self-declared ghetto president after he was arrested and charged with illegal possession of firearms. In fact, he's still trending on social media platforms.
That's right, and this is the basis of our topic this week at the 77%. Remember, the program that gives you a chance to join the debate shaping Africa. My name is Onjiko Mwaura.
And I am Jen Nyinge. We will also like to get your thoughts on young African musicians becoming politicians. Are they really interested in a political change or just looking to get rich quick?
Now head over to our Facebook page, DW Africa, and let your voice be heard, because after all, you are the 77% that makes Africa the youngest continent in the world. And later in the show, we'll have a surprise guest. Who will it be? Stay tuned for that.
I'm going to stand up for issues. I'm here to give young people confidence. Those are some of the words that have been often been used by Ugandan pop star turned politician Robert Kyagulanyi, commonly known as Bobi Wine, whenever he gets an opportunity to speak, especially to young people. The 35-year-old Afrobeats artist has been using his songs to urge Ugandans to play an active role in fighting corruption and also injustice in the country.
And he's not just talk, he's also all about action. Bobi Wine is currently being held in a military barracks after he was allegedly found in possession of illegal firearms. The Chadondo East Member of Parliament has been a fierce critic of President Yoweri Museveni, who has been in power for over 30 years. Here is what some young people had to say on his arrest.
Bobi Wine is incarcerated in Machinje. Machinje is in a military barracks. We came to show solidarity and say that civilians must not be, one, detained in military barracks.
What has happened to Bobi doesn't just affect musicians, it affects everybody. Once we turn our politics into a dirty game where disagreements is treated as an enmity, therefore you're crushed in the way that Bobi has been crushed, it dissuades everybody, every decent Ugandan from joining politics, not just musicians.
The crimes they're putting on him, I don't think Bobi can do that. He's one of the people that I feel like he's really in the parliament for the right reason, and like he's really fighting for us.
Very unfortunate that 75% of the voters in Uganda today are the youths. We are the majority. If we see that someone is misdirecting our country, the constitution allows us to fight whoever is doing so.
Bobi Wine should have just stuck to music and not really involved himself in politics, because it's a dirty game, as they say. So I think he should have stuck to music, and wish him the best anyway with his case.
Young people from the continent expressing their views on the arrest of Ugandan pop star turned politician Bobi Wine.
And as we had promised, our surprise guest is here. Yes, woohoo, drum roll. DW's own Isaac Mugabe. Isaac, karibu sana. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm indeed honored and humbled to be invited back to the 77%. It's my pleasure indeed. And just to set the record straight, I was born and bred in Uganda and I lived there for 17
wow.
years. And meaning that I follow what is happening there on a daily basis. What I can tell you in a nutshell, Uganda has never been divided than it is now.
You've talked about division in Uganda.
Yeah.
As you've just had there, people are not happy with the arrest of Bobi Wine. Could you take us through his arrest and subsequent detention?
Bobi Wine has been pushing what they call people power, you know, emphasizing that power belongs to the people and not politicians. So he's not happy about the situation, and not only him, even some members or fans of the ruling party and other parties are not happy about the situation. But of course, you don't bite the hand that feeds you.
So this is why he has become a threat to President Museveni's regime, that he's outspoken about the bad things the government is doing.
Yes, yes. He's the talk of the town right now, despite the fact that he has been incarcerated for days now. But the fact that the issues he has been addressing directly affect the ordinary person. He's talking about bad leadership, poor governance. He's talking about rampant corruption. It doesn't matter which part of, you know, the political divide you belong to. When ordinary people weigh these issues, they're really disappointed.
Now, Isaac and Wanjiko, before we proceed with this discussion, let's listen to this lady. Her name is Kola Agaba, and she is a businesswoman in Barara Town in Uganda.
The youth today are using confrontational methods when it comes to politics. It's not Bobi Wine alone, all his group, all the youth, and it's not acceptable. So if you use such methods, then what type of a leader are you going to be tomorrow?
Isaac, Scholar tells us that young politicians should be disciplined and approach politics in a more sensible way.
I'm not surprised, you know, because like Jen said, she comes from Barara. This is in Western Uganda. And this is the power base of Museveni. So what do you expect her to say anyway? She has to support the power that be.
Because it's coming from her region.
This is her region, and this is his region, Museveni, as well.
Which is a problem that is ailing many African countries. You know,
tribalism,
tribal politics.
Absolutely. Tribalism, yeah. Regionalism, ethnicism and ethnicity and all that, which is quite unfortunate, I should say.
Where does the current situation leave Kizza Besigye? Because he's been the face of the opposition for many years. Will Bobi Wine's popularity kill him politically?
No, it has not killed off Besigye politically.
Really?
I mean, Besigye is still relevant if you follow the dynamics of politics in Uganda. But what makes him distinct from Besigye himself, I'm talking about Bobi Wine, is that he's a new face of politics now. So the issues that Bobi Wine addresses directly affect, you know, a big part of the population. So Bobi Wine's entrance into Uganda's politics has the timeliness that, you know, any politician would wish to have.
Isaac, before coming to the studio, I also read through your opinion on what's happening in Uganda. But what caught my attention is how you've criticized President Museveni, you know, where you've boldly said he has turned from a liberator to a dictator.
I will not take back my words, because when he came into power as a liberator, I was only 9 years old. Everyone celebrated at his entrance in Uganda, because it changed everything, and he said it wasn't a change of mere gods, but a fundamental change. And when you look at what is happening right now, you can see really what he meant, that actually, you know, it's not the fundamental change that he talked about. A cross-section of the youth and even other people who are above their 40s like me are quite disappointed about what we see right now and what we saw Uganda in 1986. It's not a matter of Museveni going, but doing things in the right way.
And Wanjiko and Isaac, what's interesting, since Bobi Wine was arrested, we've witnessed clashes and protests of those demanding his release. But the regional bodies like African Union, East African Community and IGAD have remained silent.
Well, I'm not surprised. But the good thing is that movements are being set up everywhere calling for the release of Bobi Wine. The whole country is kind of united for Bobi Wine.
And it's not just the country, if I may interject. We've had protests also in the diaspora. Ugandans living in Germany were in Berlin over the weekend protesting again his arrest and his torture and crying for his release.
Also, other Ugandans living in London, you know, are protesting. And one that caught my eye today was also another artist who joined politics. He's Kenyan, Charles Njagua. You know, he tweeted, you know, he said, you should release Bobi Wine despite the differences in politics. So all I can say, why is he all of a sudden becoming a darling to many people? It's his message. How do the youth see him? You know, actually, they see him as a savior who will save them from a purported liberator who has turned into a dictator, in my own words.
Let's now see how the debate is going on our Facebook page, DW Africa. And Hussein Adams in Accra, Ghana says, Museveni might be pushing Ugandans to rise against him. He's been in power for over 30 years. What does he want after all these years?
We also have another comment here from Cosma Labels in Kampala, Uganda, who says Museveni must go, and he also adds free Bobi Wine.
And Jacob Kabayo in Tanzania says, after my keen observation of what's going on in Uganda, I have realized that our African leaders don't learn from their predecessors. When Museveni came to power in 1986, he thought he could bring change and democratic freedom in Uganda because Ugandans had suffered under Idi Amin for 10 years. Museveni is now the worst leader in the 21st century. Is that true, Isaac?
Well, not entirely true, but, you know, the fact will remain that if you've done good things before, and then you turn around, start doing, you know, bad stuff, the bad stuff will always overshadow the good things that you did.
That's true.
And that's what's happening.
He's undoing his legacy.
Undoing his legacy that he would have left as a statesman who would have gone in history as a good leader who did what was good for his people.
I also see another comment here just quickly, Suleiman Sakwa, who says, they are killing this young soul. The international community is quiet. The East African community is also quiet. These bodies are just business oriented. Exactly what we were talking about earlier, about regional bodies going silent in the face of political injustice and social injustice as well.
But well, maybe to come in here very quickly, the US mission in Uganda has released a statement. You and I know that more often they wouldn't like to meddle so much into local politics, you know, for fear of being summoned by foreign ministers. You know, that's what happens.
So
you know.
Could we make the conclusion that they are in bed with this government?
Not entirely, Onjiko. I will act diplomatic this time, despite the fact that I'm just a guest here.
Keep those comments flowing on our Facebook page, DW Africa. This is the 77%.
The 77%. Join the debate.
That's right. This is the 77%, and you can always connect with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
Now, the arrest and subsequent detention of Ugandan pop star, singer, and prominent government critic Robert Kyagulanyi, better known as Bobi Wine, has brought up the conversation of the increasing number of young musicians getting into politics. In Nigeria, for example, hundreds of them have registered to run for various political seats in the general election that is expected to take place early next year.
Well, Wanjiko, one of them is singer Two-Face, whose real name is Innocent Idibia. The Imotipo Music Award winner did not reveal the position he's seeking and which political party he will run with. We take a look at some of the views of young people on the issue of increasing number of young African musicians joining politics.
The past mayor election that we had in Lusaka, we had one of the musicians taking part in the elections, and which he came out a third. For him being the first time participating in the election, he did very well. For me, it's a welcome thing.
I think musicians should not participate in politics because that would affect their career, because I would not buy music from a musician who is for a ruling party when I am an opposing party.
Musicians are just like any other ordinary citizen, so I feel like it's important for each and every citizen to exercise their democratic rights. It's important for them to combine talent and leadership. If you look at the Zambian, you know, situation, it's a scenario where you find that musicians want to survive through music, but the environment is so unenabling. So what do they do? Because African politics seem to be so lucrative, so they are trying to find a way of how they can survive. So some are coming in just for survival's sake, and others are coming in genuinely to offer leadership.
Politics in Uganda is one of the major cash crops now in the country, for want of a better description. We have never had fruitful, financially gainful politics as we have now. Secondly, they have a following in a population that is largely youthful and who are not very keen on manifestos but are keen on entertainment. So you can reckon with an entertainer gathering a huge critical mass irrespective of what politics he has to offer.
Veteran journalist Tony Owana, in that last one, thinks musicians have nothing special to offer in politics and are just there for personal economic gains. Isaac.
Well, the fact that I respect him and I know him anyway, Tony Geoffrey Owana, like you mentioned, I don't think he's entirely true. That is, you know, total judgment that really is questionable. Because we have musicians who joined politics or who did activism from the past. You know, when you look at people like Fela Kuti, if you remember his song Beast of No Nations, it was directed to the powers that be at then. By then, it was even President Muhammadu Buhari, the current president. The lyrics, when you read through the lyrics, they really tell the kind of society, the misery within society that is going through, and their yearning for change. I shouldn't rule out also the fact that there are some musicians who hope to join politics for the sake of money, maybe when their fame is slowly waning away and they choose to join politics as one way of, you know, earning bread, like running for parliament, and, you know, parliamentarians get, you know, high salaries.
Ooh, hot topic here. If you're wondering where is this coming from, it is actually coming from Uganda's artist and parliamentarian who has been detained for being critical to the government. And we are asking, do musicians or artists joining politics in the continent, are they interested in real political change, or do they just want to make quick money? And our very special guest, Isaac Mugabe, is explaining that actually from the journey of Bobby Wine's music, you can tell he has always been an activist. So it's not all musicians who are in it for the money.
Yes, and before you guys let me off the hook, I should say my personal message is that if there are other young musicians there who think that their music can make an impact by joining politics, they should do. That's why most of the videos you see by Bobby Wine are going viral at the moment, not because they're being pushed by only those, his fan base, but others, even from the other political divide, because the central theme of his message is people power.
And on our Facebook page, DW Africa, we are asking, are the young musicians joining politics in the continent interested in real political change, or do they just want to make quick money?
Usi Aliyu from Nigeria says, perhaps many of them don't know what politics is all about, and I think they just think that it's the same way they entertain people. And a quick comment here before we wind up. Jacqueline Mweni in Vienna, Austria says, as far as I know, one Jaguar, a singer who was elected as an MP in Nairobi, Kenya, he does 100% nothing.
I beg to differ there. I think they should let Jaguar represent his constituency, which is, I think, Starehe, something like that. Yeah. And anyway, what do you expect from your MPs? Do you expect them to dish money to you so that you sort out your problems, or you expect them to initiate projects that will uplift your livelihood and level of standard of living? So I beg to differ there.
Thank you so much, Isaac. Guys, like we promised, a surprise guest, the hard-hitting Isaac Mugabe, asking just tough questions on the 77%.
It's my pleasure to be here, you know, with you nice ladies, wonderful ladies. And of course, as you know, if you expect me here, don't think I will mince my words when it comes to cross-cutting issues like that.
We know you. That is why we invited you in this particular topic. So what do you think? Are young African musicians becoming politicians interested in real political change, or just looking to get rich quick? Head to our Facebook page, DW Africa, and let your voice be heard.
Now, we cannot wind up the program here at 77% without passing our heartfelt condolences to the families of two prominent figures who made an impact globally. That is the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, and the first Black UN Secretary General, Kofi Annan.
Aretha Franklin was known for her hit song Respect and died at the age of 76. Wanjiko, we will of course forever cherish the music that she brought to our lives.
Yes, indeed.
And the passing of Kofi Annan has also gotten a lot of reaction on social media. Cheche Kanavula in Kenya says, thank you, Kofi Annan, for coming to our rescue in 2007 during the post-election violence.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of the 77%. But we would love to hear your feedback. Head over to our Facebook page, DW Africa, and leave us a message. I'm Onjiko Mwaura.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. On behalf of the whole crew here in Bonn, Germany, thank you so much for your time. And keep it 77%.
Goodbye.